We're continuing this morning on the topic of prayer, particularly going through the Lord's Prayer, and after having Jesus address the need to remind us about our Heavenly Father and His care and love for us, and the priority of His name being kept holy, His kingdom to come, and His will be to be done. We're now coming to the first petition that's truly about us. In a term that simply says bread, but I think is about a lot more than just that. So you're all aware of how the Lord's Prayer continues in verse 11 in Matthew 6, where we come to that request, give us this day our daily bread. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you're present here among us. We thank you for this beautiful day and for all the ways that you provide, that you also want to feed us with more than just physical food, and that you've given us your own Son as bread from heaven to sustain us in ways that go way beyond just continuing physically. Thank you, Lord, so much that we can count on your Spirit to provide for our individual needs, and simply open the eyes of our hearts this morning that we may be able to see that which we can't see with our natural eyes. So guide us deeper into your truth and glorify your own name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start with a very simple question, and that is, when have you experienced real hunger? And I'm not talking about, you know, it gets later in the day and then your stomach might start to rumble a little bit and you really feel like eating. I'm talking about the kind of starving where you just can't think about anything else but food. When I think about some of the stories my parents told me, particularly my father, what they as a very large family went through during wartime in Germany, where often no meat whatsoever was available, and where they were going through other people's garbage just hoping to find a little piece of moldy bread. I mean, can you imagine eating something that clearly already has mold on it? I accidentally once ate moldy bread, you know, and spit it out immediately, and they were happy to find something like that. I have to admit, the only time I really can remember in my life where I was so hungry I couldn't think about anything but food was during a youth trip to Sweden, where we were canoeing through some of the lakes up there, and the organization that ran that, all they did in order to provide us with food every day was they were baking ahead, you know, this very concentrated, very high-calorie kind of food. I remember one part of it was called monster cookies. Another one was simply called granola. And for milk, we just had milk powder along, you know, mixed it with water and, you know, heated it up over the campfire. But I remember, you know, we were paddling every day, and it was quite strenuous. Sometimes you had to carry the canoe, and you were starving at the end of the day, and then you just get, again, these kind of high-calorie bars. That doesn't satisfy you like a normal meal would. And I remember lying there on the ground, looking at the stars, because the summer nights up there were really mild and didn't even always get completely dark. But, you know, you could see some of the stars, and you'd think, you know, it'd be so enthralled with the beauty of nature, and all we were talking about was our favorite meals. That did not help the hunger. That only made it worse. The request for basic nourishment, for God to provide for all our daily needs, raises a number of questions. And the first one is, how exactly is that prayer for daily bread being answered? And kids especially may never have experienced anything other than going to the store, you know, and you just pick your toast or, I don't know, your pizza dough or whatever it may be to prepare food. It's already there. So who provides? The store does. And we just pay the money. we're not usually thinking about the whole process that starts with farming itself, growing wheat, milling the seeds, baking the flour, and then having the finished product. Another question, what about those starving to death? That's often raised as an objection. So many people, particularly in third world countries or even poorer than that, who don't know where the next meal will be coming from. What about the believers among them? Is God feeding them the daily bread? And what about those who never pray? Aren't they just fed the same way? So why pray, give us this day our daily bread? The first thing I'd like to emphasize is that in this prayer, in this request, we're guided towards humility and dependence. Again, coming back to small children, I still remember playing with one of our daughters. She was just a toddler, and she was building this kind of Lego tower, and the whole thing was about to fall over, and I wanted to help a little bit. And she pushes me in a way and says, I can do it myself. Starts very early on, but it continues into adulthood, this drive we have in ourselves. We can manage everything on our own. We don't need anyone else to help. And that can often lead to a kind of attitude, again, where God is no longer part of the picture. Are we still aware that our very lives, even our ability to work a job, whether it's in farming or anything else, and make the kind of salary that's necessary to buy food, ultimately always comes from God. Your next breath, your next heartbeat, anything that you need in order to function is a God-given gift. It's always amazing to look at the conditions that are necessary for this planet to sustain life. How the vast, vast majority, this goes way beyond 99.9999, and you can continue on, percent of the known universe is absolutely deadly to life. It's either way too cold or way too hot, or the kind of gravitational forces make it impossible for the kind of life that we know to even exist. But God provided us this earth. He provided nature. He provided not just one kind of food, as if it's only about bread, but such an amazing variety. And I love food. I'll readily admit that. In some ways, I can be picky. You know, I'm not touching any seafood, so if you ever invite me, you know, leave those off the table. But for God to create that kind of world where we not just have something, you know, so that our bodies can go in, but actually enjoy it. This wide variety of tastes, you know, from spicy to sweet and sour and so many things in between. It's incredible. So we do depend on God in everything, whether we would want to admit that or not. It's just simply the kind of facts that are there. Everything comes from something. And if you follow the chain all the way back, no matter what you look at, you always end up with the Creator. So we're made aware in you just how much we rely on God's provision. And again, it's something that kids naturally do and expect, that they will be fed. You know, I don't remember a single day in my childhood thinking, I wonder if there will be food today. Because I could always count on that. Even during times where my father was unemployed and war was a lot tougher to get by. A second thing I'd like to point out is that this request emphasizes trust in God's goodness and provision. You may remember Matthew 5, this is just a few verses earlier than the Lord's Prayer in chapter 5, verse 45, in the context of praying for the enemies. Jesus says the following, But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God does not make this distinction in saying, well, these people really belong to me. They will have a good life. And everyone else, you know, let them starve, let them die, and makes this very clear division. No, he's so generous in his love that he lets it rain even on those who openly reject him. And he asks us to embrace that same kind of attitude. It's also important that we see that asking God to give us our daily bread is not encouraging laziness. When I was young, I loved reading fairy tales, and one of Grimm's fairy tales talks about this fantastic land of Schlaraffia. I don't know if you've heard about that. The German term is Schlaraffenland. And, you know, in the illustration of the book, you see this really fat man lying on his back in some kind of a meadow, and there are these barbecued chicken, even though they're barbecued, they're still flying with their little wings, and they fly right into his mouth. So he doesn't even have to do any work, you know, in cutting it up. You know, it comes right there as he's just lying there. Well, this is certainly not how God provides daily food and for other needs, you know, as if, you know, we live in some kind of land of milk and honey where everything just, you know, is right there for the taking. And we don't have to do anything. No, it's usually rather like that we do have to work. And use that God-given gift of strength and intellect and everything that's needed to work a job. It is God's gift, but does not in any way suggest passivity. One more thing I want to point out here is that this request ought to keep us from both worrying and a false sense of security. And these are things that Jesus addressed repeatedly because we have that tendency to worry. You know, some kind of crisis arises in your life and you don't know how to handle it, and maybe God brings you through it even in a speedy way, and, you know, as soon as it's solved, something else pops up, and you worry all over again. It's in the same Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talking about how the pagans run after all these things that are required in order to solve the question, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? And he, in contrast, encourages us, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And yet, how often do we always think about the future? How am I going to get my kids through school? Or how am I going to pay that next bill? How am I going to solve this marriage crisis that I may be in? How do I, in the church context, you know, really reach people that right now don't seem to be interested in God at all? All of these can become part of our worries. And we somehow always want to fix it. We're looking for ways or for bringing in other people to help in order to make things happen, yet so much of that is outside of our control. And Jesus is simply pointing us, there is that Heavenly Father who cares. And he cares even more than the human fathers do, who in comparison are evil. They certainly provide for their children. So how much more, he says, will not your Heavenly Father give you what you're asking for? He does not give a snake when the child asks for bread. But there's also this danger of a false sense of security if you do have plenty. Remember that parable of that rich farmer who had this fantastic crop, and he's saying to himself, I'm going to tear down my current barn and I will build bigger barns, and now I'm set for the future. And then he just happens to die the very next night. This too, you know, is not the way we ought to plan or, you know, map out our lives in order that we can feel secure enough, you know, invest in some kind of fund, you know, that certainly will grow at a certain percentage. And people still worry, looking at, you know, where are my stocks at today? And they're panicking, you know, when the stock market crumbles. Again, we do not know what will come. Sometimes we worry about the ones being left behind, particularly those of us who get to the older years. You know, how are my children going to manage? Will I be able to even leave them enough? Or if you're the spouse of someone, you know, who's rather dependent on your income, and you may die soon, and how are they going to make it when their spouse is gone? And sometimes you really just have to leave it in God's hands. There's not an insurance for everything, or not everyone can even afford that kind of insurance that will look after someone else's future. And you still have to trust that God will take care of that family too, even when the main breadwinner is gone. A final thing I quickly want to address at the end, that this asking God for daily bread is a communal call to sharing. Jesus does not say in the Lord's Prayer, "And give me my bread. Give me what I need." It's always in the plural. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not just about our needs. It's about the needs of us all together. And one of the ways, if you look into the book of Acts, how the early church addressed that some had, you know, very, very little and were dependent on the help of others, that they really shared everything. Almost unthinkable in today's terms. Think about sharing a car with someone else. Not just a ride to work, you know, that's rather common, but, you know, you can just take my car. Take it for a week. We normally don't do that. Or invite someone into our home. Someone does not have that kind of space. You know, we're so private, we're so focused on individuality that we sometimes think of sharing as just, you know, a little donation here and there for a good cause. It was rather radical how the early Christians lived out this kind of sharing. Let me just quickly read from Acts chapter 2 towards the end there. Acts chapter 2, this is right after the Pentecost event. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people." I'm not saying, you know, we now have to sell anything that we may possess, you know, and then just divide it up amongst charities. But sometimes, you know, we're just sucked into the attitude of the world that simply says, what belongs to me is mine and mine alone. And there are ways to share that are truly meaningful. It doesn't always mean, you know, actual food. And someone comes to the door. In big city, this is something that happened to us rather regularly. Hasn't happened in Rosemary yet. That someone knocked and asked for a sandwich. But I found that often what people need most and the most precious gift that we have to give in terms of needs that people have is time. Time and attention. I once sat with a homeless person for at least an hour on the front steps, just having him tell his story. Because no one else wanted to listen to that. Daily bread comes in many forms when it comes to our sharing. And so part of God's answer here to give towards daily needs is our willingness to share. Finally, we need to look out not just for the spiritual needs of others. Sometimes in the church we have that tendency, you know, all that people need is to get saved. But there's a motto, this goes years back amongst the Salvation Army, and that motto simply is, a hungry stomach doesn't listen well. Sometimes it starts there, that you actually do provide food for someone that is hungry. And then maybe you can talk about deeper things in life. But I think it's a comprehensive call to remember our needs are not just physical. So much concern about mental health issues today. And sometimes, you know, counseling centers and Crossroads may have experienced that too, is that it becomes almost too overwhelming. So many people need help. And so few are there to actually offer the kind of help they need. You don't always need to be a trained psychologist or counsel in order to help people. But again, sitting down with people, listening, offering practical help, and especially offering to pray for them is often the most meaningful thing that we can do. And so I want to encourage you that you keep your eyes open this week, particularly for people that come across your path that do have some of those needs. It may be physical, it may be emotional, or it may be that they're struggling in their faith or are still seeking for the Lord in the first place. And let us then ask God to help us again to become a channel of His blessing and His provision. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that throughout the history mentioned in the Bible, we find the Heavenly Father providing. Whether it's in the wilderness, for your people Israel, being away from the meat pots of Egypt and wondering how on earth they're going to survive. Again and again, you made a way. And you also provided for our spiritual needs in giving us a Savior. Someone to die for us in our place so that we could have eternal life. And as we remember how much we're dependent on you, we pray, Lord, that there would also be gratitude for the rich way and the generosity that you show to us again and again. Help us not to worry so much, but truly live in the present day and not try to control anything beyond that. Thank you, Lord, that you give so freely and so compassionately and lovingly. Let us be an extension of your feeding hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.